Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, I hope you were ministered to by that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I don't know where your mind goes when you hear that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I love that song, but it's also a rebuking song because I do echo those words, Lord, I do love you. But yeah, I also know that my love is nowhere close to where it needs to be. And really, that is the heart of all true believers. Lord, I do love you, but help me to love you more. My love is so cold, so frail. We're like sheep that wander away from our shepherd, and may God give us the grace to grow in our love for him and grow in our faithfulness to him. Luke chapter 10, and as you're turning, I want to begin by asking you, what do you think is the most important activity of the Christian life? What do you think is the one activity most pleasing to the Lord? George Mueller one time wrote, "For the first 4 years after my conversion, I made no progress." Now, we today think of George Mueller as a hero of the faith, as someone who walked with God, someone who started orphanages as a testimony of God's power to provide. And he said that after the first 4 years of his conversion, he made no progress. So what makes the difference between a life that he described as no progress versus a life that is fruitful to the honor and glory of God? Well, George Mueller thought he knew what made the difference, and I want to return to his comments in a few minutes later. But first, I want us to look at a text where I think Jesus himself answers the question of what is the most important activity of the Christian life. If you have your Bible, please follow along as I read Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I think it is very obvious from a simple reading of this text that Jesus clearly commended the activity of Mary more than the activity of Martha. So what were these activities, and how should we apply this emphasis to our lives? Well, the first observation we need to make is that, first of all, Martha's activity by itself was not sin. Martha's activity by itself was not sin. So what was Martha's activity? Well, in verse 38, we are told that Martha received Jesus into his house. We would label that hospitality. This is what Martha is doing. The idea is that she welcomed Jesus as a guest. She opened up her home to him. Now, for me growing up in a pastor's home, it was very common that on Sunday afternoons, someone would be coming over to our house for Sunday lunch. Whether it was a missionary in town, or someone in the church, or a visiting evangelist, usually Sunday afternoons, there would be a big Sunday lunch. So usually that meant Saturdays were a lot of cleaning, a lot of extra chores. And so my mom would give all five of us kids our own separate chores. And I think, now, my siblings, when they hear this, they may send me some texts. But I think I was probably the most organized, and I did the best job at cleaning. So my mom would always give me the chores that were like in the living room, the most visible spots. And then she would send my brothers downstairs and parts that no one would ever see. But eventually they would end up breaking something, and then my mom would kick all the boys out of the house. But all of us know what it's like to be hospitable, to prepare your home for guests that are coming in. And this is what Martha's doing. Martha is preparing her home for Jesus. And in other scripture references, the Bible commends this. In Romans 12:13, all believers are exhorted to practice hospitality. In 1 Timothy 3:1, qualification for a pastor is that he be hospitable, and then in Titus, that he be a lover of hospitality. So Martha's activity, what she's doing by itself, was not sin. The Bible commends this as an honorable activity. Jesus himself in John 13 took a towel and washes his disciples' feet. Today, for me as a college student, I'm responsible to get my schoolwork done. It's honorable to put practice time in on my instruments. It's honorable to get into serving in kids' clubs and activities of our church. And we can go on and on with many activities that are honorable and not sin. But that doesn't mean the Lord is always pleased with our activity. Because what is Martha doing? Martha, she's doing something that is honorable. She's displaying hospitality. But just because you're doing something honorable, that doesn't mean the Lord is pleased with your activity. So first of all, we noted Martha's activity by itself was not sin. But secondly, Martha was distracted in her activities. Martha was distracted in her activities. In verse 40, the word translated cumbered about simply means distracted. Martha was distracted by the serving itself. The time it took, the energy, the mental focus, Jesus said, was the distraction. And brethren, there is only so much any one person can do. And we can be sure that the devil is glad to let us spend up all our resources we have doing something good, but missing something that Jesus values as even better or the best. Down in verse 41, he describes Martha as careful and troubled, or what we might say today as worried and bothered. And then another source of distraction that's not clearly stated but seems to be implied in this passage is that Martha was distracted by comparing her activity to her sister's. In verse 40, she was not only upset with her sister, but when we read it carefully, she was actually upset with the Lord, as if he didn't care about all the hard work she had to do alone. So Martha's activity wasn't sin. She was displaying hospitality, but Martha was distracted. And then I want us to make note of what Martha had missed. Thirdly, Martha missed the priority of listening to Jesus' words. Martha missed the priority of listening to Jesus' words. Back in verse 39, Mary is described as sitting where? Where is Mary sitting? She's sitting at Jesus' feet. But the big deal, it's not that she's sitting at Jesus' feet in some kind of a calm state. It's that she's sitting there as the last few words say in verse 39, listening to Jesus' words. Jesus declares this activity in verse 42, listening to his words, as the one thing truly needful. That's what it says in verse 42. And he really doesn't explain needful for what? Should I think needful to be pleasing to the Lord? Needful to make progress in my Christian life? It seems like the Lord left it general so that we should be thinking of all of these things. But continuing on, Jesus declares this activity, listening to his words, he declares this activity continuing on in verse 42 as good because of its lasting value. Notice in verse 42, it says, it was a good part which shall not be taken away. Not everyone agrees with how Martha's activity might be viewed as being taken, but what is very clear is that hearing the words of Jesus Christ as the priority of our life always has lasting spiritual and eternal value. And though it is only mentioned in passing, I think the fact that Mary sat at Jesus' feet is probably a symbol of submission and humility and adoration. What she really treasured most was the time to spend with Christ. Mary made it her sole priority, her complete focus, to be on the words of Jesus Christ. This activity is the one thing truly needful. This activity is the most important activity we can give our attention to. And Jesus commends Mary. He says what Mary has done is the one thing truly needful. And the first half of this sermon, we really looked at Martha, right? How Martha was distracted, how Martha missed the priority. But now I want us to take a closer look at Mary. Mary's activity stands in contrast to what Martha has done. Mary was the one that made it her priority, listening to the words of Jesus Christ and seeking to know him. So now we need to ask the question, what was the result? What was the result of Mary's activity? What changed because she made it her priority listening to the words of Jesus Christ? And to answer these questions, we need to turn over to another passage of Scripture. Would you take your Bibles and turn to John 12? Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. And here we have another record, another story of when Jesus comes to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In Luke 10, we see that Mary makes it her priority, listening to the words of Christ. So now in John 12, what are the results of Mary's decision to prioritize the words of Christ? Let's read verses 1 through 8 together. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the anointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I think if we were to sum up Mary's response from reading this passage, it would be worship. When Mary made it her priority, listening to the words of Christ, back in Luke 10, we see that the response here in John 12 is a bold display of devotion to Christ in worship. But now I want us to make note of three observations regarding Mary's worship of the Lord. First of all, Mary's worship was costly. Mary's worship was costly. In verse 3, we read that Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with a perfume. Now, this perfume wasn't any other perfume. Verse 3 says it was a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And according to other gospel records of this story, this ointment was worth 300 denarii. A denarii is equivalent to a day's labor. So this ointment is approximately the value of an entire year's wages. This is an expensive perfume. An entire year's wages are being poured out on the feet of Jesus. And not only was this worship costly in the sense of money that was spent, but also in the sense of Mary's own personal position. Mary is washing the feet of Jesus. Washing someone's feet was a job reserved for the lowest slaves. Mary humbles herself to the lowest position in the house, to the lowest slave, and washes dirty feet. So Mary uses incredibly costly perfume. She takes on the lowest job of all, but also this act of worship was costly because she gave up her prized possession. In verse 3, how does it say that Mary washed the feet of Jesus? What did she wash the feet of Jesus with? With her hair, right? Verse 3, you looking at it? She washes Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, the hair of a woman back in that day was rarely unbound in public. A woman's hair was her glory. And Mary, she unbinds her hair, her glory, her most prized possession. She uses her clean hair and washes the feet of Jesus. This is a bold display of worship, but this worship was costly. Secondly, Mary's worship was criticized. Not only was it costly, but secondly, Mary's worship was criticized. After Mary's displays this devotion to the Lord, we read in verses 4 and 5 that Judas criticizes Mary for not selling the perfume and giving the money to the poor. And not only does Judas criticize Mary, but in Matthew 26, we see that multiple other disciples were indignant. It says that multiple other disciples were angry with Mary. The other disciples actually said, "To what purpose is this waste?" The disciples are rebuking Mary. They're mocking her. "Why are you wasting all this?" It's as if the disciples are saying, "Mary, the way you are worshiping the Lord and expressing your devotion to him is over the top. Why are you wasting all this perfume? It's eccentric. It's way too much, Mary." Now, imagine being in Mary's situation. She has just poured out some of the most expensive perfume. She's washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. She humbled herself to the lowest degree to worship her Savior. You would think she would be commended, right? But immediately, she's met with rebuke and scoffing and mocking. And it's not like these snarky comments about Mary are being made from Pharisees. No, these are coming from the disciples of Jesus, the ones that were closest to Christ. So we've noticed that Mary's worship was costly and that Mary's worship was criticized. But now, thirdly, I want us to note that Mary's worship was commended. Finally, Mary's worship was commended. After Mary is criticized by the disciples, Jesus responds by correcting those disciples. In verse 7, what does it say? He says, "Let her alone." He goes on to say that what Mary has done is proper in light of the coming death he is about to face. So instead of Mary being rebuked, now it's the disciples that are being rebuked. And Mary is the one being commended. In Mark 14, Jesus says that what Mary has done is a good work, a noble work. And Jesus said that this will be spoken of for a memorial for her. So we have a story of Mary who spared no cost in worshiping her Savior. This is devoted worship. And yet this worship was met with criticism. And I think one of the observations we can make from this story, though, is Jesus' own response to this seemingly extravagant worship. Jesus not only commended Mary, but it's basically as if Jesus is saying, "Hey, Mary, what you have done, this is what I expect. You disciples, you think it's too extravagant. It's over the top." No, this worship that seemed too extravagant and over the top, Jesus is saying to the disciples, "Hey, this is the kind of worship and devotion I expect." Many Christians today are ready to accept a Christian culture and a Christian experience that gives God the basics, like the disciples. Don't waste all that perfume. Like, you don't need to do that. That's over the top. Sometimes many Christians are fine with just giving God the basics. "Yeah, I'll go to church. I'll give God my Sunday morning, but Sunday night and Wednesday night, oh, that's too much. That's over the top. Or, yeah, I'll go to church, but to take a week off of work to work at Vacation Bible School, oh, that's crazy. That's way over the top. Or, yeah, I'll give God the basic, I'll give my tithe, but to give to an extra missions cause, oh, that's unnecessary. That's eccentric. That's over the top. Some may be tempted to think, oh, that's just for the pastors. That's just for the evangelists, the missionaries. But that's not the mind of Christ at all. No, Jesus actually rebukes the disciples for thinking that way. And he commends Mary. Jesus is saying, hey, this kind of devotion to me that seems so extravagant, this is what I expect. But it's important to ask ourselves, how did Mary arrive at this devoted and unashamed worship of the Lord? I mean, consider the cost, remember? She gave up so much perfume, her hair, her position. Consider the criticism. How does one continue to stay devoted to the Lord and worship when some of the closest people to the Lord are criticizing you? And this is where we tie back into Luke chapter 10. The reason why Mary displayed an unreserved, bold devotion and worship to the Lord, it flowed out of her understanding to who Christ was. Remember back in Luke 10, Mary made it her priority listening to the words of Jesus Christ. Her priority of listening to Jesus' words gave her an understanding of what Christ was about to do. She was anointing Jesus because she recognized that Jesus, her Savior, was about to be murdered and crucified on the cross and be buried in the tomb. She had this understanding because she sat at the feet of Jesus. She made it her priority listening to his words. And how does she respond? She responds in a bold worship, a worship that many consider to be extravagant. It's over the top, Mary. You're way overdoing it. The way Mary worshiped, it flowed out of a proper understanding to who Christ is, back in Luke chapter 10. For Mary, the priority of listening to Jesus' words gave her a growing understanding of who her Savior was, and as that knowledge grew, she responded in devoted worship, regardless of the criticism. George Mueller said, "For the first 4 years after my conversion, I made no progress." This is where we stopped at the beginning of the sermon. Now listen how he finishes this quote. "For the first 4 years after my conversion, I made no progress because I neglected the Bible. But when I regularly read on through the whole, with reference to my own heart and soul, I directly made progress. Then my peace and joy continued more and more. Now I have been doing this for 47 years. I have read through the whole Bible about 100 times, and I always find it fresh again and again. Thus, my peace and joy have increased more and more." George Mueller made it his priority listening to Jesus' words, just like Mary. This was the one thing truly needful to George Mueller. And George Mueller was criticized just like Mary. He was criticized when he started the orphanages. "George, you're crazy. You're over the top. You don't need to give away your life. You don't have the ability to do this. You don't have the money to provide for the orphans." George Mueller started these orphanages, and we today think of him as a hero of the faith. These orphanages were a testimony of God's power to provide, but George faced incredible criticism. But as we just read from that quote, his devotion to the Lord to start these orphanages stemmed from his own personal walk with the Lord. It stemmed from prioritizing the words of Jesus Christ. This was the one thing most needful to George Mueller. This was the one thing most needful for Mary. Listening to the words of Christ. George Mueller's unreserved devotion to the Lord is what the Lord expects from his followers. Don't be like the disciples thinking, oh, that's way too much. No, Jesus commended Mary. This is what Jesus Christ expects from his people. May God give us the grace to respond in unreserved devotion and worship to the Lord. But may we do this as we continue to prioritize the words of Jesus Christ as the one thing truly needful. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The piano player is going to come and play two stanzas of our next song. And I don't know how the Lord may be working in your own heart. Maybe you haven't made it your priority every single day listening to the words of Jesus Christ. You can't worship the Lord unreservedly like Mary, like George Mueller, because you haven't been prioritizing the words of Jesus Christ. Take this time to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. May you respond to the Lord right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example of Mary, how she made it her first-rate priority listening to your words. Lord, your words are life. Your word is truth. Your word is the milk and meat that we feed on to grow. And your word is what reveals your glory. Lord, may we continue to stand in awe and in wonder of who you are through your word. And Lord, may there be an outflow of worship. A worship that is bold and unashamed, no matter the criticism. No matter what people may think, oh, it's over the top. Lord, we are convinced of who you are in your word, and you are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our praise. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.